back. There is a lot going on regarding the greatest crime in recorded history, beyond all wars and any other kind of crime you can think of regarding the population of this planet and the so-called human species, the custodial species, the caretaker species, which has been marked, earmarked, and targeted for essentially reduction to about 90% of what it is. And that's what they're working on. These efforts have already been done. Remember that. They have been deployed. So the controllers are now basically sitting back and watching the incredible diversity of anti-life impact that these viruses, bioweapon viruses, coronaviruses, COVID viruses, and the injections are causing. They're just they're overwhelming. There are many, many different ways to approach this, to look at people and what they're suffering from. The number of symptoms out there reflecting obviously severe and seriously growing problems within their bodies is enormous. We can go week after week, three programs a week, and not touch the same subject twice. It's that crazy. Are you there, young lady?
I'm here.
Well, all right.
Ready to go.
Couldn't do it without you. Okay. Wouldn't do it without you. Let's see. Mm. We've got an issue about... there was a fellow we talked about some time ago named... Oh, it doesn't matter what his name is. He went to Cancun with his wife for a vacation. We read this a couple... I think it was a week or two ago.
Yeah, a couple weeks ago. Sure.
He had nothing but... It was a nightmare. It was the vacation from hell. And it was awful. He got shed upon. They got shed upon on the bus, taking them from the airport to their hotel, as I remember. And it was awful, just awful. He tried to participate in vacation-like activities the next day, and then he was just nailed. So he had more. There's a little update here. I'm going to read this, and I'm going to have Erica comment on this. He says... to back what you are saying, I have a friend in Dallas who sells breathing machines. He said never in his life has he made so much money. He is booked solid with preset appointments 6 days a week. I'm going to stop here for a moment. So it's some kind of a breathing machine at a location, an office of some kind, and people make appointments and they go. Probably it's a hyperbaric oxygen chamber. All right.
It could be that, or it could be as simple as an oxygen bar, but...
Yeah. I would suggest it's more than that, but I don't know. Just a guess. He is booked solid with preset appointments 6 days a week, making a fortune selling machines for people who cannot breathe anymore. Now, that's suggestive that Erica's take on this is probably more correct, but we don't know. They have lower-priced hyperbaric machines. They're usually, $10,000 or something? I don't know. They have lower-priced home models you can get. They're like a bag you get in. All right.
Yeah, it's what's known as a soft shell or mild hyperbaric oxygen, MHBOT.
Right. Okay. So the people can't breathe anymore, and they're going to this guy for breathing relief. And the writer continues, and he says, they are killing us. We have to wake up and, number one, get angry. Number two, demand change. Number three, if they will not follow the law, then we, the people, have a right, a legal right, to enforce the law. Now, that's true. You can stand on that one all day long. If our elected officials want to enforce the law, we should do it. Enough is enough. This is a slow kill of humanity while the sheep just keep eating grass. It's insane. And he's right. We have plenty of laws on the books to stop the border invasion. The biggest law of all is the U.S. Constitution, an invasion of America. You know? Get the idea? And then all the local laws and state laws and county laws and ordinances that deal with invaders coming across. So they're just simply not being enforced. We've known this for some time. But it is so blatant now and so in our face. They, the controllers, are mocking us every day, 24 hours a day, laughing at us. They know we're not going to do anything. And just remember the French Revolution. Remember the American Revolution. That's probably what it'll take to turn this around at this point. It's that bad. We have yielded all rights to refer to this government as a government of, by, and for the people, a representative government in Washington, or even your state capital in most states, although there are some good state governments left, I guess. But we're in real serious trouble. We've watched this now for years, and you all know where it's going, and where it's going is to hell, and that's where they want it to go. So hang on. Buckle up. So a breathing machine is booked up 6 days a week, pre-set appointments. That's pretty impressive. That suggests that people, lots and lots of people, are not able to breathe appropriately. Now, that is an interesting expression. What does it mean? Are they unable to actually exercise their lungs, pulling oxygen in and air and exhaling it? Or is it something else entirely? They're pulling the oxygen air in, but something's not being transmitted to the blood. That's your cue.
Well, as we've talked about before, I think one of the main targets of the spike protein is the blood. And when it attaches to a red blood cell, it deforms it. The hemoglobin becomes unstable and detaches, becomes oxidized. That's when you get the black blood, the methemoglobin. It means it's the hemoglobin has become oxidized. It can no longer take on oxygen and deliver it. And that's a dangerous situation. Now, you have a natural defense in your body, a natural reaction to that, and the body is designed to break that hemoglobin down into its constituents that should offer some protection. If it doesn't do that, you've got trouble. You've got blood that's going to clot. You've got heme, free heme, that is going to migrate into the endothelium and wherever else. Free heme, which is part of the hemoglobin molecule, heme is what carries the iron, essentially. And it's not just in hemoglobin. It's in many other proteins and enzymes in the body. Heme is absolutely essential for life. But that is how the body maintains its oxygen homeostasis. And without it, you're in big trouble. And so the heme gets destroyed. Now, how the body disposes of it is one issue. It can dispose of it in a safe way, or if it doesn't have the capacity to do that, it roams around and causes all kinds of oxidative stress. The iron is freed up. That's doing damage. And then the body is tasked with having to regenerate the heme. And sometimes there's problems with that because the spike protein can interfere with that process. So over time, it appears that people are becoming toxified by their own heme and also starved of functional heme. And that has profound implications for how well the body can oxygenate itself and battle oxidative stress or these redox reactions. And there's a very strong association and a wide body of research at this point implicating a deficiency of heme in neurodegeneration.
Right.
Much has been written about Alzheimer's, but also Parkinson's.
That's neurodegeneration from head to foot.
Yeah, but in particular, these protein misfolding diseases. So in other words, and this is not to discount the topic of the prion sequences that are in the spike, but even without that, it is possible to induce protein misfolding by virtue of not having functional heme. In other words, you cannot control the oxygen environment in a cell so that the proteins fold properly, and you're getting deposits of reactive iron, redox active iron, which does all kinds of damage. And it would appear to me that much of this pathology is related to having issues with heme, both the degradation of heme and the resynthesis of heme. And when you don't have that, you are not a well-oxygenated body. You have a lot of oxidative stress, and you don't have oxygen in the places that you need it. And one of the areas that requires heme is something called myoglobin, which is a storage form of oxygen in muscle. And that would also include heart muscle. Now, we know at this point that people who have received these injections, their hearts, whether symptomatic or not, appear to be running off of sugar.
Right. Now, this is a radical departure from reality and what we're normally seeing. I don't understand how this can even... I don't know how the body can actually invert itself like this. What a switch.
Well, it's compensating to the best of its ability, but at some point it breaks down. That's not natural.
Yes.
It's not supposed to go on chronically. And now we're seeing all kinds of, the holes in the heart, issues with valves.
Physiological breakdown. Let's just go back a little bit. Let's rewind a little bit here. A couple of years ago when Nurse Anne was coming on, validating and verifying what we were finding out and reporting about the human blood. The human blood, once you've been injected, in every case that had been studied or obviously investigated, the human blood was no longer a bright cherry red or even a reasonable consistency in terms of its fluidity. It had turned into a dark blue, blue-black, very thick sludge, almost a paste-like. It was still able to be extracted for a blood draw, but it was so bad in terms of clotting and being sludged up that by the time they had actually withdrawn the blood from somebody for a sample to go down to the lab, the blood was already clotted and coagulated. Couldn't be used. So the nurses, as Nurse Anne told us, she said she would literally draw blood from a patient if she could get it out, the sludge crap, and run it down to the lab. In many cases, it was too late already, and the guy would tell her, I can't do this. You go get another sample. So the blood is the first target, the first overt, obvious, major target of these bioweapons, and it has been astonishingly, sickeningly effective. So when you imagine that your blood is no longer a nice, fluid red, but this dark, blue-black sludge, and think of your poor heart having to try to push this through, your entire vasculature, which starts at the capillary level and goes all the way up to the aortal level, and your heart is trying to push. No wonder the human hearts are stopping. That's one of the reasons they just quit. They literally get burnt out. A heart cannot do that. It's not designed to do that. It's pushing probably 3 to 4 or 5 times its normal exertion quotient. Think about it. I can't tell you exactly, but it's horrible. We've shown videos of this blood. We've seen still photos of it, freeze frames, screen grabs from the blood that is dark. And all of this is going on all the time. And you know who's being really quiet about this, dear friends? The Red Cross. They ain't talking. They're not talking. They want that money. They're going to get that blood out. They don't care what it is, as long as it's remotely red. And when they process blood from blood drives and whatever, they mix it together. Then they start to break it down. And are they absolutely sifting, looking for spike? No, that's not one of the things they're checking for. This is true. Anyway, it's very dangerous out there. So if you have to get a transfusion at some point in the future and you know about it, you may have surgery coming, try to put your own blood aside, at least a couple of units aside, so you'll have a chance. You go into the general blood supply and no. You don't want to do that. All right.
Well,
anything else to add?
Yeah, I do. And going back to those embalmer clots.
The white amyloid clots.
Yeah, that are now, as per that interview with Dr. Philip McMillan and the vascular surgeon,
which you can see in our archive. It's right at the top of archives or nearly there. Look for McMillan and the blood, and These are horrific pictures that she's talking about. Go ahead.
Yeah, these clots are unbelievable. And maybe I prematurely stated that we've never seen these before. They haven't been characterized in the literature before. But there has been, there is a basis for it, and some extent of it has been characterized, and I wasn't aware of that. Dr. Resia Pretorius, who's working in South Africa with Douglas Kell on this issue of clotting, has reported this type of phenomenon as far back as at least 10 years ago. And this type of fibrin clot is known to form in the presence of iron, redox active iron, as in the type of iron that is free-floating in the blood. It's very reactive, and it will actually cause fibrinogen, which is the substrate for fibrin, to misfold into a protease-resistant form. In other words, it will not, it's not soluble. It cannot be broken down by the normal enzymes that should break down fibrin. So it's not like this has been, never talked about or heard about. No, it has. Maybe not to this extent. But there has been a pathway demonstrated that shows how this can occur. So this iron thing is, I think it's being overlooked. I don't know if that's intentional, but as long as this iron is being dysregulated to this degree and the heme regulation is being unaddressed, there's always going to be problems.
Got it. Okay, very good. Just remember that, seriously, this platform, Erica was the first to really make the issue of the critical heme factor public. No one else talked about it, and no one's talking about it now. But again, not blood, number one target, number one item destroyed in the body. And from there on, a cascade of horror. And somebody wrote and said that this was the COVID horror program or something. Hey, that's true. That's what it is. It's a horror of unequaled magnitude, what's been done. And they're just kicking back now. They're not pushing anything. You'll notice they got 13 billion plus injections out there. Done deal. So they're in control of the present and the future. And, What was it? The X-Files had a really wonderful little 40 or 50 second clip where Scully is talking to the refined gentleman and the secret group. Here, listen to this. This is a classic. You've probably all heard it before, but it's kind of worth revisiting.
Why? Why kill me?
You want something they don't. Justice. And because they are now quite certain you don't have a computer copy of the files they'll need.
Why are you protecting me?
I feel my colleagues are acting impulsively. Your death will draw unnecessary attention to our group.
You're not protecting me, you're protecting yourself.
Why should that surprise you? Motives are rarely unselfish.
What kind of business are you in?
We predict the future. The best way to predict the future is to invent it.
There you go, I hope you could hear that. The best way to predict the future is to invent it. Create it, that's what they do. And they, you know who they are. They're running the planet right now. So there you go. Maybe I can find a better quality version of that. This is a great line. There were a lot of great lines in the X-Files. Okay. Next up, we're going to spend a few minutes on a couple of people that we'd rather not, but this is important because a lot of people pay attention, unfortunately, to material on the internet that isn't worthy of their time. And there are a lot of platforms out there that are pushing disinformation, misinformation, nonstop around the clock. And I'm not knocking these people, but I'm just reporting on what they are saying and our reaction to what they are saying. And they, in this case, Dr. Jane Ruby, and I call her Butch Merritt, Dr. Merritt, Lee Merritt. They've dropped one of the biggest untruth bombs in quite a while. Both of them were on the same program, Ruby's program, announcing that there are no such things as spike proteins. Now, a lot of you just said, what? That's right. Both were on the same program announcing that spike proteins don't exist. There are no such things as spike proteins. You heard that right. It's just like the loons who have decided that there are no such things as viruses. It's the same craziness. This is all misdirection. Understand that. Just for fun, partner, tell them why there are such things as spike proteins.
Well, you know, they keep saying that no one's ever isolated it. Yes, they have. Yes, they have. We have the molecular tools to do that now. We've been doing these types of things, proteomics and molecular sequencing, for decades. We have. And we've also reconstructed it. So I can right now go and buy, you know, I can buy a full-length spike protein. I can buy the receptor binding domain. I can buy the S2 portion or the S1 portion. These are all available for purchase, you know, for research purposes. You know, if you want to test hypotheses, if you're working with cell cultures or experimental lab animals. No, the spike protein is real. For some reason, they've decided to redefine what isolate means. And they're able to pull this off because people don't have the scientific background to know when they're being fooled. It's absurd.
Yes, but that's not the first example of absurdity. We can go
no,
back
they,
to...
No, they want you to believe that this is one big psyop, that there is no virus,
right.
That it's nothing but 5G towers and parasites, and there's no bioweapon here. It's just a mind game.
Remember all the other canards that they pitched at the world, they being the controllers and their extensions? Remember Hydras? Remember that big scam, Hydra, the little monster that was loose in your body with tentacles on it? Now we've got quantum dots, glowing quantum dots, I think, that allegedly appear in dark field microscopy with other nanobots. You can't see nanotech with dark field microscopy. Sorry, but the public is just so easily led around by its nose if they happen to like somebody's image, presence, or whatever in a program or a podcast. They'll buy into it. They'll just follow right along. So many things have been lies. It's not even, you can't, it's hard to count them all. And so many frauds are out there now. Sickening.
The goal is to keep people confused, uninformed, ignorant, and unaware of the fact that there are biowarfare programs right now in play that are working on the next iteration of this.
You betcha. Lots of them. And unfortunately, the formerly wonderful, beautiful, moral society and culture we had here has been corrupted to a very large degree, and the efforts are underway now 25 hours a day to completely destroy this country. And what do we have? We have talk about a flip-flop or an inversion. America is now the Soviet Union. And the former Soviet Union is now basically representative of what this wonderful country once was. And that's a reasonable statement. So there you go. All right, one other thing. I was in the market recently. Some of you perhaps have been in the market. And I saw some lady pushing a shopping cart full. I don't mean a few pieces. I mean full, almost to the top sides of this big shopping cart, with red meat. Yes, it was packaged. It came from the butcher shop or whatever, the meat department. I never saw more meat in my life in a shopping cart. And this woman was talking about the carnivore diet. and how wonderful it is. Well, to go back to what Erica was saying about iron and heme and all that, if these things are extremely vital to survival, and iron is a major culprit, wouldn't they want you to eat lots of red meat? You betcha.
Yeah, it did occur to me that, I mean, it's just funny that this carnivore diet thing is really being pushed right now. And what better way to load your body with heme iron? Heme iron is very well absorbed from the intestinal tract, much more so than any iron you would get in plant foods. And it's strongly associated with bowel cancer and breast cancer.
Yeah.
No, iron, you know, I, as I've said before, iron participates in all three phases of cancer. It can directly damage DNA. It can promote the growth of cancer and the progression of cancer.
Most people don't need iron, okay? You're all right. If you have a reasonable diet, remember, there's a lot of iron in green leafy vegetables, many species of that. And if you look at a horse or a cow in a pasture, all they eat is green grass, basically, or hay, which was green.
Well, they have a completely different digestive tract.
Totally.
You know,
they're working on the same mineral intake, a totally different microbiome,
and that's the only reason that can work. It's the bacteria that's providing the protein for them, not the grass.
Nobody knows that. Okay, so our thoughts on anybody going into a bag bar and getting dosed with iron supplementation, how would we sum this up best? Our suggestion, our thoughts on this.
First of all, the anemia that people are experiencing is because of the inflammation. That's the body's natural response to inflammation. It's going to sequester iron and keep it out of circulation and also inhibit your body's ability to absorb it, although I'm pretty sure you can override that when you eat heme iron, as in the type of iron that's in meat, and especially in red meat. So dumping iron into that situation would be very toxic. It's just going to contribute to the iron loading of the body, which, over time, that's going to, number one, damage all of the organs that are accumulating it, first and foremost the liver, but it can also damage the pancreas, and that may be one reason why we're seeing an explosion in pancreatic cancer now.
And liver failure, yes.
Liver failure. It can toxify the endocrine system, the pituitary gland and the brain. Iron has a lot of negative effects when it exceeds certain levels. You need it, but there's a sweet spot for it. And if your body is not wanting to put it into circulation, there's a reason for that. And there may be other breakdown in the synthesis of heme, because ideally you want to be able to put that iron onto a heme, and that's how it becomes functional in the body. Iron on its own is not functional. It has to be on a transporter or a protein. And so if there's a breakdown in the pathway of synthesizing heme, which is known as porphyria, the iron isn't going to help that.
Right. It's like people taking 10 to 15,000 units of D3 every day.
Yeah, that's another one.
My friend Jim Mars almost died from that years and years ago. I don't know, 10 years ago now. He said, well, if a little more is good for you, a lot more is probably better. And he was talking to me from ICU in the hospital in Texas.
there's a lot of misconceptions about
25,000 units a day.
Yeah.
I told him no.
Yeah, the thing is they're measuring, when you do a blood test, they're typically measuring the storage form of vitamin D, not the active form.
This is important. Go slow with this, please. This is really important. When you buy vitamin D3, there are two types of D3. The storage form, inactive, and the active form. Go ahead.
That's right. All right, so what you buy in the store, the cholecalciferol, D3, goes into the body, and it's not active. It has to be converted to the active form by the kidneys. And that's a fairly tightly controlled process. And so when you have excessive levels of the storage form, it's going to dysregulate the vitamin D receptor because it can sit on the receptor and block it from the active form, particularly when you get beyond 50 nanograms per deciliter. Or maybe it's, is it milliliter or deciliter? But anyway, 50 nanograms. And then you're going to dysregulate it, and it has actually an immune suppressive effect so that your body, the cell, won't be able to manufacture the antimicrobial peptides like the cathelicidin, which is absolutely imperative for controlling intracellular parasites. So in cases where people have autoimmunity, they often feel better when they take vitamin D, and it's because they're turning down the immune system. So it's not a straightforward science. You really need to check what your levels are, and just remember that only less than 1% of the vitamin D metabolites are actually in circulation at any given time. The rest are, in other places in the body doing different things.
Got it. Okay, let's jump off that and get on to the magic bus, the CHD bus tour, the Children's Health Defense magic bus, where they go around collecting absolutely devastatingly sad and just grief-stricken people with pain and awful vax injuries. So here we go. You want to set this up real quick, or just we can go then right into it?
Yeah, this is a sad story. It's the daughter of a woman that was in a long-term care, assisted living facility. And her mother was forced into taking five Pfizer shots, three of which were doubled up with a flu shot, and not surprisingly, she died.
And this is over a period of time. How short a time period was it?
I think it was, within 1 year.
It was within a year. I'm sure. All right. Well, let's listen and find out. Okay, so people who are in extended care homes, senior care facilities, whatever you want to call them, are at the mercy, in many cases, of the ethics of the ownership and the staff. And they are jabbing these people to get rid of them. There's no question about it. Here we go.
We are live. Tell us your name, please.
Jana Brune.
So the headline, my mom was forced to have five Pfizers, that's horrific.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take us back, please, and explain what happened.
My mother was living in an assisted living program here in San Diego, California, and she had been in the program in the communities for about 4.5 years. And when COVID hit, all of the people in these kind of assisted living facilities were pretty much forced to have the inoculations, whether they wanted to or not. And all of the people that worked there, the people that ran, all of them had to do it. It was a California regulation. There was no getting out of it. There was no exemptions or anything. So my mother had never, wanted to take any of those kind of things, and she had not before. And the flu, all that, but they required it. So in a 2 year period, it was early of 2021, she had five Pfizer COVID vaccinations, and three of those were doubled up with the flu vaccine. Same day, same arm, right after each other. And I had tried to asked them if they could stagger those because she was older and obviously had some other things going on in her body to be in an assisted living program. But they said, no, there's nothing you can do. But so anyway, my mother ended up having her last COVID vaccine was the last day of October of 2022, and on November 6th of 2022, she never woke up. And the night before that, she was completely fine. I spoke to her. I was going to visit her the next morning, and she didn't wake up. So the whole suddenly and unexpectedly happened, and everyone was shocked there because she was pretty much the healthiest one in that facility. So it was heartbreaking, and about a year later, I started a vaccine injury support group here in San Diego, and it's kind of caught fire. So it includes everyone, all vaccinations, not just the COVID, because I know a lot of people are affected. And my son was vaccine injured as a child with all of the vaccines, because I was vaccinated as a kid, and I just thought, okay, they know what they're doing, and it must be okay. The doctor's pediatrician. But what happened was he had chronic ear infections as a baby and as a toddler, and then he got type 1 diabetes in high school, which was an older age group for that. And that's when I started diving in and really looking at the ingredients and all of that, you know, what are in these vaccines. So,
I'm sorry to hear that. And your mother's story is horrific. I mean, mm-hmm. 5 COVID shots with how many flu shots?
Three. So 3 times out of the 5 COVID shots, she had the flu shots at the same time. And she did have the double back on that the last day of October in 2022. And she passed away. So it's basically November 5th, we think, because they're not quite sure exactly what time she passed.
She had 5 shots in let's say a year and a half thereabout in that facility. And this lady said, I used to think they knew what they were doing. Well, the fact of the matter is they know exactly what they're doing. And I she needs to step forward a little bit on that, I'd suggest. They know precisely exactly what they've done with this. And they're not playing games. And that's the hardest part for people to accept. They do absolutely own this thing from conception, creation, to deployment. They know precisely what's going on. All right, here we go.
So, thank you. I know. It's one of the million stories. So something has to be done, and we can't allow this to keep happening. And when did we stop having the right to determine what we can do with our own body? These are the things I'm learning, too, by having this support group and the stories. It's just absolutely horrifying. It's horrifying.
So what is your support group called, in case anybody wants to join?
It's called We Care For You 99, and we have a website, just .com, and we are grassroots. Just, you know, we have Zoom calls because there's a lot of people that are injured that cannot come to the meetings in person. We do I do a lot of one-on-ones. A lot of people are kind of leery right now. They're getting better about meeting with a group of people. And then we have about twice a month, we do have more of a larger in-person groups, and we scatter them around San Diego County.
Okay, there are activist groups like this probably in many places around the country. They need to be supported, they need to be used, and there's always information there that's worthy to consider. Again, we never tell anyone what to think. We just ask them to engage in the process, given reasonable data, which unfortunately is sometimes very hard to come by, like people who are saying there are no such things as spike proteins or viruses, etc. This is all mass mind control game playing, and it's designed to keep people completely off balance and confused. And they're very good at it. When you own the media, which again creates the reality for most people, simple to do. Okay,
yep.
Anything to add to that? And we'll jump over to our human files here.
No, let's do some readers.
All right. Go down to... We got nine February. That's about 4 or 5 groups down.
Let me see.
We got 3 in a row, 1, 2, and 3. another victim of CJD. You see it?
I'm getting there.
Okay.
Got it.
All right, here's the first one. My father walked into the ER January 11th with memory issues and issues with his eyes. He deteriorated fast in the hospital and 2 weeks later was diagnosed with CJD prions. Hospital discharged him on Thursday because he doesn't meet the qualification for in-hospital hospice. So they set up a bed until his end of life at my mother's home. This is all a complete shock to all of us, and my mother is very stressed, as you can imagine. This is the guy's father. All right. And my worries are with her own mental health, not to mention the financial burden of having to care for my father around the clock. Now, this is last January. Can anyone share their experiences, both positive and negative, with this journey going on here? I'm trying to get as much information to my mother as possible. Right now, he's walking with our assistants around the house. We brought him outside, and he is swallowing on his own. He goes through his episodes, and sometimes they can be very rough. Hallucinations can get bad, and he's very junky to loud noise and lights. We understand this is a terminal disease, just looking for information, experiences, anything to help in this process, and what to look for as this illness progresses within him. Thank you all, and God bless. Just again, you, 5 years ago, you hardly ever heard of CJD in people. And now it's common. And it used to take 8 to 10 years to kill somebody. And now we're seeing less than a week from diagnosis to death in some people. This is a shock.
Well, it has a long incubation period. So, you know, you don't know if the stage was kind of set for this and
you don't know.
COVID or, right. or the injection or the spike just accelerated it.
Right. All right. Go ahead with the next one. This victim is only 43. These are young people.
Yeah. My mother was diagnosed last week with CJD at 43 years old. In a matter of 2 weeks, she's gone blind, unable to walk and speak in sentences. Last night, we had to tell her... Oh, last night we had her tell us who was from the sound of our voice, and she doesn't know who we are. She says she's only got 2 weeks left. Oh, they say she's only got 2 weeks left. She will be leaving behind three daughters, two of which are still in school. I am the oldest, and I'm finding it so, so hard to cope with the fact that this is happening. Everyone says they are there for us, but I don't feel like they are. I turned 23 late January, and around that time is when I started getting worried. How do you guys cope with it all? With finding out that there is a 25% chance that it's hereditary, I'm really stressing about it. I also just bought a house last week, and the fact that I can never show her it or have her come over and watch me grow my own family is killing me.
Another in the endless list of tragedies out there from these death weapons. That's what they are. This is very sad. CJD destroys the brain. And when you look at the person, they look the same, but the brain is gone, and the personality is gone, or going, and they no longer can function. Every day is a blessing. Forgive me repeating that. So don't waste days. If you have people in your life that matter to you, that mean things to you, that you love and care for, tell them. Don't delay. Tell them. Make sure they know how you feel. Okay, go ahead and get the next one.
Yeah, I just want to say with CJD, unlike Alzheimer's, when the symptoms appear, you know, the personality mm-hmm. change, you know, the mild dementia, and then the mobility issues, it goes fast.
Yeah.
It progresses very rapidly, whereas Alzheimer's tends to be, you know, somewhat drawn out.
Well, look at Biden.
CJD, you know, prior to this bioweapon thing happening, it wouldn't be unexpected to have somebody pass within 6 weeks with onset of symptoms. Now, in some cases, it's 2 weeks, but, you know, in the past, it's always been when by the time symptoms appear, the disease has been well underway, and they don't have a lot of time left.
Mm-mm.
All right. My dear friend was taken by this disease today. August 2022, we sat at an outdoor cafe and had a wonderful lunch. She was absolutely fine. In town for her 50th high school reunion. In May, her husband told us she was diagnosed, and last night she passed. This is an awful disease, and I pray research will find an answer.
Okay. Jump down to number 6 and the CJD from the bioweapon.
Okay.
Go ahead and grab number 6.
What was the question to this? It was, has anyone heard or found any confirmation that CJD can lay dormant in a person and that stress can cause it to become active? My partner was only 48 and under a great deal of stress when she developed symptoms. And this person says, I believe this to be true as well. My mother lost both of her parents unexpectedly about a year before her diagnosis. She also had at least 3 COVID vaccines, possibly more. She went through a traumatic tooth surgery weeks before she started heavily displaying symptoms. It is so shocking to see so many cases for something that was once so rare. I am so sorry for your loss.
Okay. There's one more on this one. Then we've got the Fury one under that. Okay, let's see. Time. Okay. Interesting. My mom's symptoms were being attributed to stress, insomnia, confusion, irritability, lack of concentration, until near the end of her life, when it all came together very quickly. She was going through a stressful time 6 months prior. And there's a comment to that. My fiancé was dealing with terrible stress prior to symptoms beginning. Stress weakens our immunity, so it makes sense that there would be a connection. And another one. My stepmother showed no signs or symptoms. From the first sign until losing her, it was a month and a half, 6 weeks. And the doctors mentioned this when giving us her diagnosis. Go ahead.
Next one says, my brother had started a steroid, thinking his plugged ear was causing the imbalance. He ignored the other earlier symptoms of insomnia, aggression, muscle loss, loss of concentration. He was trying to work out to get stronger 3 weeks before he died. He was falling over and could not stand. The steroid seemed to cause his symptoms to be aggravated and increase. Immune suppressant. He never had any signs of dementia until the last 2 weeks, which I would say was in and out. He did say his perception of where he was in a room was out of whack. He felt like he was standing on the end of the bed rail when he was lying down. We are still waiting on the biopsy to find out what type he had. I miss him so very much. His confirmed diagnosis came 2 days before he passed. He was 67 and otherwise in great shape. He went into the hospital November 19 and died December 9. Cruel disease. I'm praying for everyone that has come or comes into the path of this horrible disease.
All right. CJD increasing. Someone needs to know and research this horrid disease, as there are 4 known cases of it in Van Zandt County, Texas. They say it's rare. Please help get the word out. Comment to that. There have been 4 cases that I know of, including my dad, just in my area, which seems like a lot. It's so rare. That's somebody from Utah. And another comment. Where in Utah? We lived there for 20 years. My husband passed 2 months ago in South Dakota, and we are waiting for the autopsy results. There's a whole bunch more. Go ahead.
My husband showed signs after his second booster. Next one. My dad just barely missed the whole COVID epidemic. He was dying right around the time everyone started wearing masks. He was not vaccinated. And she adds, my mother-in-law just recently passed away, and she got sick right after all of her shots and couldn't walk or do anything for herself. She was only 60 years old. Another one, there were four cases in 2022 in Greenville, South Carolina. Yeah, that's four cases in one
that's
town?
That's crazy. All right.
In
Let
one
me wrap
year?
This up.
Okay.
Yeah, this is nuts. Someone says, there were more than that. My husband was the second case at Prisma Health. There were two or three more after him. And there had been three at St. Francis when my husband was diagnosed, according to his doctor. One after him just lived a few miles from us in Pickens County. It's a terrible disease. And a comment to that one, this is scary and terrible news. My husband was unvaccinated. We think the symptoms first started in November 2021 with a cough that never went away. Before then, he was a strong, very healthy man who had no health issues in the past. He got COVID in January and started having excruciating nerve pain in his legs and arms as soon as he got the virus. I'm so sorry your husband got this disease. I will keep you and your family in my prayers. I wish we could have a roundtable discussion with the doctors and families in our area to find a way to let others know about this disease and find ways to help families who find themselves dealing with a CJD diagnosis. And one more remark. Can I please ask if you were vaccinated at the time, and was it just your husband who was not? The response, I am unvaccinated. Neither my husband nor myself received any COVID vaccines. This opens the door again to the possibility of spike shedding.
Or,
we don't know
or
the
virus.
Timelines.
He got the
or
virus.
The virus.
He had the virus.
He said that, clearly.
Out.
No, we think that the virus is every bit as bad of a bioweapon as the injections. And we think that that's not being appropriately analyzed
no,
at this point
it's
yet.
Not. And
no.
I knew people that had it. You know, this is not, you know, just a flu, as they would love to have you think. It wasn't.
Right.
If you know, this was very serious for some people, not everybody, but some people got hit hard with this thing, and it was not a flu. It's at the very least a coagulopathy, meaning it you know, causes inappropriate clotting in the blood, and it destroys the blood. It's some kind of hemoglobinopathy.
Correct. Okay. All right. We've got to run. We're late. Thanks to all of you who are here and who care. Do share these programs. Listen to them a couple of times if you'd like to. Some really vital information that Erica presented in this hour about heme and iron. So if you listen to it a couple of times, it'll all make sense. Good job. Thank you, partner. Talk to you soon.
Okay. Thanks, Jeff. Okay. Have a good weekend, everyone.
And we'll be right back with hour number three for you next.